Hey everybody, this may be a more somber post. I know I've been trying to look forward to good news and just found out that my best friend in Reno has passed. So this will be more of a eulogy and thoughts and memories about my friend Austin. I will start off with some good news. I finally tested negative yesterday, even though I haven't felt symptoms of the Rona in over a week, other than whatever that weird stuffy nose sinus infection cough thing was. But everything seems to be over, and of course, the day that everything's over, I end up crying all day because I find out that one of my best friends had died. You know, I've said this before when talking about some of my exes and things. I've mentioned that you absolutely cannot be friends with a female. And I don't even know why this didn't even cross my mind, but I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. And not only was I wrong, the reason the thought didn't even cross my mind was because Austin was essentially my sister. Never once, even though I said she was the most beautiful person I'd ever met, but never once did I ever cross that line and look at her as anything more than a sibling. And that was kind of our running joke. So we met at a time that I was sort of pissed at and done with the music community in Reno, and I had gone on to bartend at the Bunny Ranch and do some other things. But I would still hang out and jam, and it was just more of an afterthought by this point. She shows up as I'm working at the Bunny Ranch. This gal walks into the bar. I think she had a male friend with her. It wasn't anyone they were dating. But I greeted them like normal, asked them if they wanted a lineup or a dance or something like that. And she's like, no, we're just here to kind of drink. She's sick of the usual crowd. And there was, you know, nothing in Tahoe. And on the way back down, you just figure, why not stop by the brothels? And she was like kind of bitchy and kind of not standoffish, but like very confident. She was like me, and anything that she would say that was kind of snarky, I would laugh and I would throw it right back. And the guy, I don't even remember who he was, never saw him again. Austin was just, you could tell that it was instant chemistry and an instant friendship. I was making her laugh, but I was being cynical. She was talking about how there was nowhere to go and that it's kind of boring around town. And I said, tell me about it. I said, you know, the only place I hang out that's kind of cool is Brew Brothers. And she gives me this weird look like I'm, you know, twisted in the head or something. And I said, yeah, I mean, I played there for a lot of years and I still jam and fill in with bands, but pretty much that's like the only thing you do is because it's got live music and a cool crowd. And she's just like, looked at me with this droll look. She's like, I work at Brew Brothers. Or she said El Dorado. And I was like, you what? I mean, and here I was boasting, saying that I was like one of the top guys and one of the most known, and like that was my bar and I was king of that bar walking in. And she looked at me like, I don't even know who you are and I work there. And it was the truth. Like, so as it turns out, she was a cocktail waitress, hung out in different crowds and worked mainly downstairs. And then I realized I had seen her before because I played mostly downstairs in the cabaret bands as opposed to the bigger bands upstairs. And it just all of a sudden clicked, and we realized we had been around each other for years, had the same friends, the same hangouts and everything. We just never really crossed paths. And I must have made a joke, or I know I've said it at some point. I was like, well, obviously I never would have talked to you before because, you know, the cheerleaders don't hang out with the nerds and the musicians. Usually it's the fucking jocks or something like that. And she would just laugh because she's like, bitch, I love Pantera. And I'm like, holy fuck, we are related somehow. Like, she was into Halloween. She loved, you know, Type O Negative, Pantera, Metallica, thrash metal. She was probably like, you know, the reality. If you looked at her and saw a picture of her, if she wasn't wearing like a band shirt or something, or maybe you saw like one of her photos or something, you would look at her and go, oh yeah, this bitch, she's definitely a reality show watching Kardashian type, probably stuck up, only hangs out at posh places, takes a million selfies. And no, not at all. I can't even finish that because it's so ridiculous. She was probably the most modest person I had met. Granted, you know, she was, you know, Cancer Leo, Cancer cusp Leo type, you know. Actually, she was Cancer with Leo, and I'm a Leo more on the Cancer side. So, yeah, another commonality between the two of us. She could have flaunted her beauty. She could have been that kind of ritzy bitch. And she wasn't. She had those friends. She had that group. But she ended up spending more time with the musicians. And it sort of, we were the bridge to the gap between the servers and bartenders and the musicians, basically. Because all of us metalheads and rockers upstairs, we stuck to our own group. Brew Brothers, El Dorado, Reno, very clicky sort of venue. It was like the Rainbow Room in LA. It was very much like that, where you had the people that would go because they knew what it was, but then you would also have the people that pretty much lived there, and we all lived there. Like, if you worked there and you got off shift, you stayed. If you didn't work there and you were hanging out because you were in a band, you stayed and you helped out. I don't know how many times we closed the bar down and how many times we helped clean up, or how many times I volunteered as a bouncer just because they would put like one guy to a 200, 300 person club. So it was just, man, it was a time that will never be replicated, because it was a venue that you got to listen to live music by cover bands, and the cover bands would spice things up. I mean, if you heard a Johnny Cash song, they would stop in the middle and go Volbeat with it and add double bass and heavy guitars and make it like a Social Distortion Volbeat type. And this is even before I even knew who Volbeat was, so no wonder I liked Volbeat, was because they were doing what we were doing at Brew Brothers for well over a decade. So Austin was just, she was cool people. She was very, she was fire. She could light up a room and get the party started and then give you a look and tell you to back the fuck off and get away from her. She was one of those types that everybody wanted to be around, but she didn't want to be around just anybody. And I keep bringing up the whole sister thing. Like, there was a lot of drama as there would be at any job or any bar or any venue, something like that. But I don't think I've ever seen as much drama that you couldn't even write and come up with the shit that was happening at El Dorado and Brew Brothers. Downtown Reno, the 2000s, were just... It was a wild time. It was just nuts. She had gone through breakups, and I had gone through breakups with bands and girlfriends and everything. And just, she was always that constant. And there was very few people that were like that for me. I had best friends. I had, even towards the end when, you know, that band that I started hanging out with that convinced me to move to Vegas, that we were friends for almost 10 years until finally we had a blow up and now we don't talk because I felt I should have got that gig and they passed me by. And that happened with a couple of the other bands too, where you just lost friends over time because of drama and bullshit and what you thought should have happened and loyalties happening, and it just doesn't. Austin was consistent. She didn't give a fuck who liked her. She did her own thing. She liked who she liked, and it didn't matter if you were a fat Viking musician like me or if it was Jeremy Renner from the Avengers, Hawkeye, because he would come down. It didn't matter. And I can't imagine why it's fair that certain people have to go. I mean, not to be morbid, but there's been so many more times that the world could have done without me versus done without her. It just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. She had her demons. We all had of our demons. And I think in some way our demons matched. And, you know, alcohol, drugs. It was just that lifestyle. I had heard some rumors, and I don't even know what to think or what the cause is, but I don't want to speak about that right now. It had got pretty bad, and she was very attached to her animals. There was a winter that I don't know how one of her pugs got out, but somehow it got out, and it was like a whole community search, and it went viral. Everybody was looking for this, you know, baby pug that she had. It was like a year old pug. And went on for days, and they finally found it. And apparently it had frozen to death. And when Austin found it, she lost it. She went nuts. I went nuts when I lost my wolf. I had finally gotten a house. I had finally settled down in Vegas. I was finally able to get someone to sedate him and put him in a van and bring him down to me. And then he lasted about 6 weeks. And he died in my arms in the backyard. And I lost it. Something I don't talk about very often. I actually checked myself in. And admitted that I was possibly suicidal. There was a lot of things going on, and that may or may not be a story for another time, but I had lost a girlfriend, I was losing my job, I was getting into a lot of shady shit, and my one anchor to keep me out of trouble and to keep me happy was going to be my wolf, Logan, coming down, and my surviving border collie, Rocky. And then, well, didn't end so well, and I basically went nuts. So I completely understand what Austin was going through. I mean, a lot of people were making fun of her and saying how it's weird how she would lay in the snow crying, holding her dead dog, I don't think that's weird at all. I did the same thing. It was, you couldn't pry me off Logan when he passed, and that was a weird story anyway, because he had passed, and I knew he had passed, and he heard me cry and woke up one more time and jumped up to make sure that I was okay, and I freaked out. I mean, he was basically a zombie. Eyes were blacked out. His tongue was black, and my mom had just showed up at that time, and I was a chicken. I was a total coward. I went in the bathroom, and I cried, plugged my ears, and I sat down on the floor, and I was like, I can't hear him scream anymore. I can't hear him howl. I just can't do it. And I guess he just wanted to say bye to mom, too. Because as soon as she went outside and calmed him down, he laid down and he passed. And of all the shit that goes on in the world, like, you need to have that anchor. You need to have that something. I don't even know that it could be kids. I don't know that it can be a boyfriend or a mother or family or anything like that. I really don't think those are healthy anchors, because those are people that make their own decisions, have their own anchors, and may not need you as much as you need them. But a dog or your pet will bond with you for their life, and they are yours. They're your property. They're your fur babies. They are solely yours, and you bond with that animal, and they bond with you. And it's an unshakable bond that is different from any other type of love. It's pure and genuine, absolutely innocent love. Which again is now, you know, this is tough for me now, going on 3 weeks that Freya has had an illness, and I've been depressed beyond belief, sick. Now family members are getting sick. Now I'm losing a best friend. Just went through a whole bunch of drama and lost friends that still exist, that just ignored me, and the fact that I was a musician, I had bad gigs. It's like shit hit the fan on Friday the 13th, and I've never had a bad Friday the 13th, but I swear it was like the day before, whenever that Mercury retrograde happened, it was just bam, 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 one thing after another. So back to Austin, you know, when she lost her pug, she lost part of herself, and it spiraled out of control. We all had a drinking problem up in Reno. The elevation was higher, and we could outdrink people in Vegas because the elevation was lower. In fact, we could outdrink people in Tahoe, which was even higher. If you don't know, the higher the elevation, the easier it is for you to get drunk. And we weren't even, I hadn't even done cocaine yet at this point in my life, and we could outdrink anyone. I would have maybe 10 or 15 highball glasses of Jaeger, and then maybe 6 or 7, Corano had their own version of a Corona. They called it the Corano Extra. I put a couple of limes in there, and it was perfect. I mean, we were balling. We basically got to drink for free. I mean, I would drink all that in a fancy casino club, and my bar tab would be maybe $15. So we all drank, we all did our thing, we all hung out. It was a lifestyle. If you worked 6 hours, you hung out for 8 hours after, try and catch some sleep, come back, do it all over again. It was just fun. It was a party. It was rock stars. We were rock stars. So when something devastating happens, like you lose a friend or you lose a pet, it was family, and we were all there for each other. And I guess it got a little worse for Austin. She had, God, I was so jealous of her. She had, as much as we teased her about you know, being the cheerleader type, dating jocks, she would end up dating this muscle-bound bartender and marrying him. And he was like the epitome of a jock. I mean, but the coolest guy ever. He was definitely part of the family, just a little more reserved and quiet, but very smart with his money. They both were, and they got to travel the world. And not just like, hey, we're going to have a mimosa in Italy, take a train to France. I mean, they like climbed Mount Everest. They went to the Philippine Islands and stuck their feet in the water and let the fish eat off the parasites or what. I don't know. I mean, like, they went to Africa. They went to Australia. When I said she traveled the world, she actually traveled the freaking world. And we were also, and then when I started traveling again, she was just as happy for my little travels as I was of hers. And she could have been like, yeah, well, so what? You got to see the Amityville Horror House. I went to the top of Mount Everest or the first base camp or whatever. She never did anything like that. She was just as excited that I got to be in Amityville and see that house and was happy for me every time I would do something. She was one of those people, like, there were four or five people that liked every single post I had from MySpace to Facebook till now that followed me on every social media, and she was one of them. And it was, you know, it was last week that I was even off of Facebook for the most of last week just because I didn't, it was like something was wrong. I didn't know what yet. And I'm very pissed off at Facebook right now. I didn't even know that she had gone missing because Facebook wouldn't allow me to see the posts. Because I don't live in Reno. They, all of my mutual friends that her and I had all shared it, and for some reason or another, I didn't get the notification. That's bullshit. So apparently, the last communication anyone had had with her was the 23rd. And it was like a hunt to find her as fast as everybody could. Because, you know, over a year ago, maybe it was about 2 years ago, when she lost her pug, she almost drank herself to death. She knew she had a problem. She rented a hotel, went and passed out, woke up a few days later, and realized that she had pretty much drank like three bottles of vodka. And maybe there was pills, I don't remember. And they found her, you know, after being gone and missing for a couple of days. So we're like, shit, if something happened again, we're hoping that she didn't relapse. I mean, and she went to rehab. she got clean. She went off Facebook. She was gone for 90 days. Did real good, and then she was sober for almost a year, and then come to find out, I guess the few people she was still hanging out with and talking with at her new job and in her new lifestyle, she was going to be a makeup artist, and did really good at it. I guess she'd been drinking heavily again. She lost an uncle, she had a new boyfriend. Looked just like Johnny Depp, which is more her style and exactly what I thought she should have. And I thought everything was great. She had a new career going. She had got herself over losing her pup. We all thought everything was fine. There was zero indication that she was going down a downward spiral again. She was posting like normal. She was happy. She was traveling again. She lost her uncle, and that was kind of sad, but she got to see her family and all that. And then she posted that she had done makeup for a friend's wedding and how much fun it was. And that was the last post she made. And that was the last time anyone had heard from her. I don't know if it was the death in the family that helped push it along, or if it was being at a wedding, realizing that she was no longer married to, you know, our jock bartender type friend. I don't know what could have done it, but she went missing. And then it became a citywide search. Everybody put feelers out, did absolutely everything they could. And her dad had to post that they had finally found her and that she had passed. So, you know, they Facebook wouldn't let anybody see, or it wouldn't let me see the shared missing persons reports from, I mean, it was on the news, it was on every outlet possible, yet none of us got to see it. So thanks, algorithm on Facebook, you're doing a hell of a fucking job. I guess people spread it around, made it go viral enough, personally, probably via texting and stuff like that, that everybody went everywhere to possibly they could think that she would have gone to find her. And yeah, they found her. That's it. That's all we know. They won't tell us what's going on. The family is being very hush-hush about it. It can't be suicide. I honestly don't believe that. If I had to guess, I would say maybe she had a severe relapse. Maybe drank too much and passed out the wrong way, and it was an accidental death. But just thinking of her being found in a car somewhere, or a hotel, or something like that, it fucking kills me. She had so many people that loved her and would do anything for her. I would have driven to Reno. If I knew things were bad, I'd have gone up there and abducted her, brought her to Vegas. Wouldn't even had to drink. Just watch bands and pretend we were at Brew Brothers one more time. We all would have done something like that. We all would have done anything. And I can't imagine that she would do this to her friends. That's why I can't imagine that it's suicide. Nobody knew what was going on, but yet, you know, we don't see the fucking post, and all of a sudden, I wake up yesterday, and a post from a friend was a screenshot that was only posted 7 minutes prior to me seeing it. Showed a Google search that showed basically her dad had posted they had found her and she's no longer with us. Why did I see that post? Why did I see that post and not the missing? I mean, could there have been something? No, I mean, I would have texted everybody. I don't know that there could have been anything I could have done to help the situation. If I would have known, I'd have driven back up to Reno and looked myself. I would have called every hotel to find out if she had checked in. But she was so happy. The boyfriend was treating her right, and they were traveling and doing stuff. I mean, that was her dream boyfriend that she's always talked about. She always wanted a vampire Johnny Depp type, and that's exactly what she got. She finally got everything that she wanted. I don't understand it. I'm running my errands. I just dropped off the rent and stopped by Target because I heard they had some clearance stuff. And man, people are just so fucking disrespectful these days. I'm so over it. You move out of the way so somebody who is in your way can pass you, and then they stop and block your area, not even caring that you're there and trying to get past them. And if you say, excuse me, they act like you're being the one that's rude. Or you drive through the parking lot and you're going the correct way in an actual lane and some dumbass is trying to cut you off. and drive through the lanes and the parking spots. Just, I get that we're all irritable, and I get that we've all gone through hell the last 3 years, but it's got to start with somebody. One act of human kindness can turn something around for somebody that will start a fucking snowball event. And I'm not talking about that woke bullshit kindness either, where if you don't agree with them, they're just going to call you racist and all that kind of bullshit. I'm talking about actual human kindness. But no, you can't. I can't walk through a store and say, oh man, I like that shirt. Why are you looking at my shirt, freak? Oh, your hair looks great like that today. Ew, stop hitting on me, creeper. It's just not the way the world is anymore. It's impossible for certain people. Like, the only people that are allowed to be nice or have a voice or talk to anyone are the quote-unquote minorities and gays. No one else is allowed to say or do anything. You know, it's just, it's a terrible fucking world that we live in. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. That's why, you know, watching Stranger Things and Top Gun and all that just takes me back to an era where I actually enjoyed life. It's fucking ridiculous, the disrespect in this world. I was raised that you respect your elders and can't wait to grow up so you could be someone that's respected and that you have to earn your respect. And I totally miss that, because by the time I was finally old enough to be respected, I was stereotyped and shunned, just like I always have been my entire life, for one reason or another. Just absolutely ridiculous. So another thing that Austin and I had in common, which is going to be a little difficult to talk about. We were one of the very few people that could talk openly about being intuitive or psychic and about paranormal situations. I was the only one that she could go to when she thought she saw something. I would reach out, get a feeling for the situation, give her my best guess, and it would calm her down or help her. she was haunted. I don't know if she ever found out. I mean, maybe she knows now. She always seemed to be haunted by things, and she would send me videos of, like, orbs flying around her room, or she would be in a house by herself with no TV on and you can hear her talking. She had a lot of gothic decorations and things around the house, and a lot of times she'd catch them swinging back and forth. Actually, the last conversation we had a couple of years ago about paranormal stuff, she sent me a video and said, look at this orb. And then the next video was, I think there's somebody in here. And it's probably one of the creepiest things I've seen someone else have. Not a lot of people have the type of experiences that I do when it comes to paranormal, and the things that I've seen and dealt with are 100-fold creepier than anything you've seen on Ghost Adventures or something like that. She sent me this video as she's in bed and she's pointing the camera towards the closet, and there's a shadow moving from her closet behind her mirror and sort of just standing there pacing, like waiting. And it's just real unnerving. And one of the stories she told me was in an older apartment or townhouse, whatever, that she had she felt that there was something there and that there was always something to trying to get her attention. She, man, she, saw this image or this vision of somebody that had lost their life and was trying to warn her about something. And she said it was a young woman that was found in her car. And things that were happening was like, her curling iron would fly off the bathroom counter. The tub water would turn on. I said, do you think it's like a poltergeist, something that's trying to hurt you? Like if you would have been in the tub, it would have tried to electrocute you. And she says, no, it feels like something's trying to tell me something or warn me of something. And she says, I just feel really sad. And then she told me about the vision. And, you know, damn it, if that's how she went, I don't even know. I had a vision that I really don't even want to get into it, but I'll tell you basically what happened is I had a life-changing vision where I was going to lose my firstborn child, and in a roundabout way, exactly what I had envisioned had happened. Someone I was with got pregnant and had an abortion on me, and she had had an instance where she was having nightmares that a little girl kept saying that you killed me. So yeah, I believe in visions. Yeah, I believe in premonitions. And I just hope whatever happened, I hope she's at peace. So as spooky and doomy as that was, no, I don't think she was haunted to death. It's just odd coincidences, and a lot of times premonitions and things like that, I don't know why they happen. I've seen too many things that go beyond coincidence. So if she had a premonition of her own death, it's just sad. But again, the people that are suicidal, they don't tell you. The ones that are just seeking attention will make posts about every day how they're sad. If only 3 people can repost this, I'll feel better. And just dumb shit like that. The people that actually are hurting and actually need, you'll never know. You know, it's like I've always said, the Robin Williams thing. And I can't imagine that's what did it. I mean, I drink a lot. I still do. More than I should. But these days, drinking a lot means, for me, like 3 or 4 beers and I go home. I don't do these all-night benders where I'm staying up all night till the sun comes up, puking in my beanie, sleeping in the car, somehow making it home by, like, noon, and sleeping all day and waking up and doing it all over again. Like, that's what we did at Brew Brothers. That's not what we did now. So even with a bender, I just don't understand how something like this could happen. I mean, what makes you get to the point where you want to start drinking and then you just don't stop drinking? You know, it's confusing to me, and it doesn't make sense. But again, you know, I could ramble on that forever, you know, I suppose. But I guess the bottom line is I lost a friend. I kind of don't want to know why. And I kind of have a pretty good idea how it happened. But it is what it is. It shouldn't happen. But then again, you know, the Amy Winehouse effect, forever beautiful. She's going to be remembered as immortally beautiful. And that's actually all she ever wanted. But in thinking about death, there's a lot of things that I don't understand. You know, I grew up in a very strict religious household. And the churches that I was going to were the brainwashing type that wouldn't let you ask questions. They just, word is law, this is the way it is, blah, 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 shit like that. And there's a few things that I never understood about death, or church, or religion. And one of those things is, how do you believe in somebody that's going to essentially torture you for eternity for not kissing their ass? So if you're offended by religious stuff or religious talk, or you are super religious, I tune out now. Religion to me is probably one of the dumbest constructs of human society. It's a government that wants to give you a predetermined list of morals to get you to do what benefits society. And while a lot of religions preach peace, they're the cause of many wars, Christianity in particular. And my belief set now is different enough that I think in some way all religions got it right, because they all believe the same thing. I think man is the one that made it difficult and had to segregate it so that you had to choose sides on something. And one of the things I never really got when I was a kid is how they told me gay people were going to hell, and I had a family member who was gay. So you're going to tell me my beloved family member is going to go to hell? As a child, I'm listening to that and I'm thinking, my God, how do I live every single day waking up knowing that one of my favorite family members is going to go to hell because they're gay? That's torture. That's brainwashed. That's absolutely terrible to tell a child that. And the second worst thing, actually more so than others, is I was told your pets and your animals don't have souls and don't go to heaven. So you're telling me my childhood dog that I spent 15 wonderful years with isn't going to be there on the other side of the Rainbow Bridge to greet me in the afterlife? Hell, even saying that sounds pretty fucking ridiculous. However, if I'm supposed to believe in some invisible entity in the sky that you pray to for help, kiss their ass the rest of the time, and then they will save you when they feel it fit, otherwise it's God's will, you're telling me I can believe in all that hokey bullshit and go to a paradise in the skies filled with gold castles, wings, and magic harps, but I can't have my pet sitting there waiting for me in the afterlife? I'm not going. Fuck God at that point. And I've said that a few times in my life. And I thought that was one of the most blasphemous things I could ever possibly say. until I realized it didn't do me any harm to say it. I was so confused, hurt, and scared growing up, completely paranoid. Because I thought if you blasphemed, you'd be struck down by lightning. They actually teach you that in Sunday school. You don't use the Lord's name in vain. You don't blaspheme, or you're going to get struck by lightning. How did we believe this shit? Honestly. One of the first things I asked, you know, because I grew up in a Southern Baptist church that believed Jesus looked like a member of Leonard Skinner. Which he's not white. And I think he's a Jew. So why aren't we Jewish? Yet somehow this dude's gonna die for our sins and come back 3 days later. So essentially he gave up Memorial Day weekend for us. And that's this all-blessing Messiah that's going to save us from an eternal damnation in hell. I don't know. I'd rather go to hell because apparently all my friends are going there. My gay friends are going there. My gay family members. My dogs. Anybody who listens to heavy metal. Anybody who watches horror movies. Plays Dungeons and Dragons. Any of that. We're all going to hell. Well, that sounds like a pretty cool place to go. If you even believed in that. But, again, this is a religion that tells you if you eat of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge, you will go to hell and curse humanity into eternal damnation. Let's think about that for a second. First of all, Eve might have saved us all. Because Eve was a woman who didn't know what she wanted to eat, but she knew for one time in her life that apple was what she wanted to eat. And not only did she eat that apple, but it gave her knowledge. And then she realized she was naked, and then she realized that she was a sinner, and that what her sons had done in killing each other was a sin. All this shit. So, okay, I have questions. If God is telling you, do not eat from the tree of knowledge, it sounds like he doesn't want you to wake up and that he's hiding something from you. And that he doesn't want you to know the truth. And if you disobey him, you will be cast out of paradise into fiery pits of flames when you die. That sounds like a real nice guy, doesn't it? And it hurts because I lose a friend and I think, man, my childhood teachings and memories would have me believe that I could see my friend again when we go to paradise. But Christianity's going to tell you otherwise, that she's a sinner and probably going to hell because she believed in paranormal, listened to rock music, drank and smoked, and yeah, fuck all that noise. So I do have a lot of issues when it comes to religion, and maybe that's why a lot of my issues with authority comes from too, because you grow up being told, be respectful, and that's out the window now. Being told that you're family's going to go to hell if they don't believe a certain way, and that you're supposed to go knock on everybody's door and witness to them, and your friends are going to hell. I mean, there's so many more reasons and ways to get into hell than there is to get into heaven. It just seems like a scam. And then you got people like Jehovah's Witness that believe you're already in hell. And it just, I don't see how people don't see this whole thing's a scam. They're tax-free organizations that make millions, basically. And you've got the Catholic Church that pretty much rules the world. if there ever was an NWO or one entity that runs everything, it's pretty much the Catholic Church, which is weird that it's in Rome, because that was one of the first superpowers, the Roman Empire. So it's, I just don't believe it. That's not to say I don't believe in a higher power or something like that. But I don't think it's necessary to give your earnings away to a group of people for the privilege of worshiping. Church can be in your heart. Religion can be in your heart. Doesn't have to be something that you have to show others. I mean, it's like the first... God, the... You know how you see selfies and all these people and influencers who are so quick to post a picture that they've done something good for someone? They're like, oh, here's a video of me giving a homeless person something, or here's a video of me doing something good. Aren't I a great person? To me, that's what church seems like. You have to tell people that you go to church. Show them the good you do for the world. And not do anything bad, even though half those people are hypocrites. Can't wait to get home to watch their football so they can cuss at the TV that can't respond back. Half of them have wives that are sleeping with the next door neighbors. And you're raising little pious douchebags. Yeah, that seems real love of man type of community. I mean, it even bothers me too. Like, the same people I always complain about, the woke agenda and all these people, they're the first ones to pick on you, even though they profess all love, but only if you agree with them. Because if you don't, you need to change your ways and your opinions. Makes zero sense. How does a church or an entity or a religion or something tell you to do something, and if you don't, there's consequences? Don't you think an actual all-love being that's there for you is a better option? A loving creator that loves to see you flourish and enjoy your life? And I mean, if you actually talked to a Satanist, and I'm not talking a Luciferian, because they actually believe in the devil. Satanists don't believe in the devil, and they believe in respecting your body's needs and desires and wants, and respecting others' bodies. But if you decide you are fine with debauchery or whatever your body desires, then by all means do it. They don't have rules that tell you if you do this, you're going to hell. You can't go somewhere that you don't believe in. And I think that's the funniest thing ever. Just because I don't believe in Lord of the Rings doesn't mean that I'm going to Mordor when I die just because you believe it. I mean, that sounds pretty ridiculous, right? Just doesn't make sense at all. None of this makes sense. But people will believe it. They think this is how the world works. And then they must die with a clear conscience. I think it's people that are codependent that have to have something, those attaboys, those gold stars, that something that tells them that they're doing a good job so that they feel better. I think it would be more comforting to know that you lived your life well, lived it to the fullest, and get to spend eternity as a spirit watching other people live their lives to the fullest. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what's after death, but, and again, not to be morbid, and I'm certainly not hinting at anything, but every time a friend or a family member or somebody passes on, I think, man, you lucky son of a bitch. You don't have to pay bills anymore. You're free of disease. You're free of heartache and despair from ridicule. I mean, this world sucks. The last 2 weeks have been hell for just about everybody. Sickness, mass shootings. We had a shootout that didn't get publicized very much, but we had a shootout here between Vagos and Hell's Angels. You could be the best person in the world, tithe every weekend, go to church every weekend, twice on Wednesdays, and still get caught in the crossfires of this world and end up dying earlier than you should. That kid with cancer, that was God's will. Austin dying at 31 was God's will. They'll try and feed me that crock of shit. Now, I will say, if ever there were a person that I feel good knowing in my heart that they lived their life to the fullest, it would have been her. I have too. And you got to respect that and you got to love that. And that's my advice for everybody. Fuck what you're supposed to do. Fuck your job. Fuck your religion. Fuck all of that. Live your life the way you want to live it, regardless if it's morally acceptable or not, or socially acceptable. Just live your life and have fun. You could die tomorrow. You just can't waste your life away being a slave to the grind. You know, I know it's catchy, but it's the truth. Like, you get to retire at 65, work your entire life just to end up decrepit with no money, a withering body, and can't even do the things you always wanted to do. Why not do it now? Quit your job now. Do something fun. Who says you have to have kids? Who says you have to get married? Who says all of these things? Society's telling you to do this stuff. Nah. Sell your shit and travel the world. Get lost in Tibet. Go to Hawaii. Don't ever come back. Just live life and be happy. So, here's some life advice for you. I've spent the entire day trying to space out, go thrifting, drive around for a couple of hours, just clear my head and get my thoughts in order. And a couple things just stuck out in my head. For one, I don't feel anybody younger than me should die. I just hate to see it. I've had friends who've lost their children. We've seen it in mass shootings. We've lost friends who hadn't even hit their peak yet, all too soon. I just... Death should be an old age thing. Anything else, it seems like it would be malicious. Either by this loving God who gave you this disease or cancer, or decided that your baby couldn't breathe anymore and wanted to take it home. I think it's ridiculous. But here's some advice. Love your friends and your pets and your family while you can. And be nice to people. And I know everybody says that. It's so cliche and it makes me mad. Because nobody actually knows what it means to be nice anymore. Simple things like opening that door, stopping it at a lemonade stand, helping somebody who loves crafting things and picking up something they've made for you. Compliment people. Compliment people on things that they're proud of. if you have a friend, I mean, it could be their biceps or their tits, or they just got Invisaligns, or they got their hair did. I don't care. Compliment people. And guys can do it too. Guys can say, man, that mohawk looks great, even though you're balding as fuck, but you know what? Good for you for rocking that. You could throw a little snark in there. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, if somebody tries to do something, just compliment them. There's a lot of people that can't do things that are talent-based that wish they could. And if they draw something or attempt to cook something or make something, tell them they did a good job. It's not that fucking hard. You'd really think that when someone says be nice, it means accept that they want to fudge pack each other and identify as a different pronoun every other day. No, that's walking on eggshells. That's not being nice. That's trying not to offend somebody. It's a completely different ballgame. Trying to be nice is just genuine human compassion. And I don't mean like, you know, there's people that are just, they're weird about it. They do so many nice things for you almost in a positively negative way so that you almost feel forced to do it back to them, like buying stuff from them or every day telling them they love you. Like, that's weird. I don't tell everybody I love them. But they know it, and if it comes to a point or something, yeah, it'll come out. I mean, all my guy friends too, anybody, I'll tell them I love them. But I don't need to go, hey, bud, I love you, when they post their, you know, coloring page for the day. Or they stub their toe, oh, hun, I'm sorry, love you. Like, you don't have to smother somebody. You don't have to mother someone. But being nice should be a simple concept. And it's such a lost art form these days. Go ahead and let somebody walk in front of you. They're in that much of a goddamn hurry. Let them go. Let that person drive in front of you or pass you. Get in the right lane. You don't have to do things like, you know, they always say things like pay it forward. You know, I'm not buying the guy's coffee behind me. I barely have enough money to survive as it is. You know how hard it is to stay fat as a single human being in an economy like this? It's hard. I'm thankful I could do it, but that doesn't mean I'm buying your mocha chocolate behind me. But I'll maybe let you go first if you seem like you're in a hurry. Or maybe I just won't be at fucking Starbucks because that's for goddamn ridiculous. But there's ways to be nice, people. There really is. It's not that difficult. And another piece of advice, slow down. Whatever you're doing right now, fuck, you could be mowing your lawn, walking the dog, driving to work, trying to sleep. I don't know why you'd be listening to the podcast to begin with. Whatever you're doing, just slow down. Eat slower. Look around. Put the phone down. Listen to music. Read a book. Get some comics. Stare at the mountains. Draw your neighbor's house. Get some binoculars and watch her change in the shower. I don't care. Just slow down and enjoy life. And also, go do what you want. There isn't a single entity, person, government, official, or anything that could tell you shit to do. If you want to go and do some horrendous things, you can do that. I'm not telling you to do it. If you want to rob a bank, go do it. They can't stop you. They can try. That's how ridiculous these things are. What is somebody going to do? Throw you in jail? Okay, they still have to feed you. What happens if you beat up your cellmate? They put you in solitary? Cool. I didn't want a roommate anyway. What, they put you in a hot box? Sweet. Some people pay for that shit at the saunas. They're not going to kill you. You don't pay your taxes? Oh, shit. someone else's taxes is going to end up paying for your cell if you go to jail. Like, who cares? This whole construct of officiating over someone's life has just gotten so fucking out of hand. You want to take a day off from work, but you can't because you're afraid of getting fired? Well, that's your boss's fault for not hiring enough people as a contingency plan so that if you do get sick. Did we not learn anything over the last few years? You can't force people to come to work when they're sick. You have to do what's best for you, what's best for your family, your dogs, and everything like that. You can't live your life under someone else's rule, under someone else's thumb, and doing what they want or what some moral Bible is telling you to do. Just live like it's the end of the world tomorrow, because you know what? It might be. So that's enough on that. Godspeed, Austin, wherever you may be. Feel free to come visit. And I hope you're finally at peace and get some of those answers we always asked each other about, as far as paranormal world goes. And I hope you still get to travel. Take care, everybody.